Tipperary, it's a long way to go.
It's a long way to Tipperary. Yeah, it's not so long anymore. You can get on a plane and get there pretty quickly. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about travel to Ireland on the show today. And a great guest for you as we talk about what you need to know if you're planning a trip to Ireland. Glenn Schmidt with us. He's back, travel writer, teacher, guide, storyteller, and he was with us last September when he talked about his book, which is titled Travel Lessons, Your Personal Guide to Better Travel. He was expecting to talk with me, but I happened to be traveling myself. I was in Scotland. And Glenn, you had the fortune, perhaps, of talking with Jill Nadeau that time around.
We had a great time. We talked travel the whole time, but we did miss you.
Okay. Well, I actually had a chance to be on the air that I was in near Edinburgh during the fun drive and did a little interview with Jill about my travels at the time. Well, let's talk Ireland here for a minute. And as we talk, I hope you'll join in as you're listening in here. Have you visited Ireland? What do you recommend seeing in the country? What was your experience like traveling to Ireland? Love to hear from you. The number is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. And Glenn, indeed, good to have you back. Thank you for joining us.
Good to be here.
Well, lots of things I expect to consider when traveling to Ireland. What are some of the kind of unique travel experiences you can have in Ireland?
You know, it's funny, the lead-in song, It's a Long Way to Tipperary, I never really connected it to this castle we rented in Tipperary, which is in central Ireland. It's a castle called Lisheen Castle, and it's a legitimate castle, and there were 16 of us. We rented the whole place for a week. And it was absolutely delightful. It was so huge that we kept losing people in it. And we'd say, well, where's Paul? Well, we think he's down, you know, down here, and we'd have to go look for him. But it was a delightful experience to rent your own castle.
Was it cold and damp?
You know, it's Ireland. You know, what do you expect there? One of the cool things we did, though, and if you rent... And it's not just renting a castle, but if you rent through VRBO or Airbnb or something, very often if you ask the host and tell them that you want one of your meals in the castle, you'd like it either made there or catered by some locals. And so we had an Irish meal there in this very ornate room, and we felt just like royalty, I think, you know, being served all these great Irish dishes. So it was a good way to end our stay at the castle.
Well, I always think about stews when I think about Irish food, but there's got to be more than that.
There is all sorts of things once you start digging into it. You know, if you like Irish food, there is a whole set of things that I was even looking at. Things like shepherd's pie and cottage pie, Irish coffee, coal cannon, soda bread. And if you go to an Irish bakery there, they almost always have a place where you can sit down and enjoy it. It's not a bakery like we think. I mean, you go in there and you sit down and enjoy it. You don't have to wait to take out some food.
Yeah. And I mean, there are, of course, the history of Ireland is fantastic and offers people a chance to see some things they're never going to see anywhere else.
Yeah, you know, one of the biggest reasons people travel to Ireland is for their heritage. In fact, some people go so far as to get dual citizenship in Ireland, which is very possible. You have to have, at least through the main door, you have to have either a parent or a grandparent who was born in Ireland. And then you can get through that particular door fairly easily. I did a similar thing. My ancestors are from Luxembourg. And so a few years ago, they kind of opened a side door for Americans to get in if they had Luxembourg ancestry. And so so now I've got dual citizenship in Luxembourg. I had to show up at City Hall in Luxembourg with all my papers in order. And I was all set to get my Luxembourg passport when COVID came along. And I, you know, we were set up. My son and I were going to go to the Luxembourg embassy in Washington, D.C. And they said, don't come. Okay, nobody was traveling then. 3 years later, Larry, I got an email from the Luxembourg embassy that said, okay, you can come now. And so we did. We planned a trip there. Went to D.C. with my son. We had a great time there. But we had some trouble. After we went to the embassy and got through the whole process, the next morning, my son got a call, and they said, there's a problem with your dad's application. Okay, what? He's smiling. You can't smile, Larry, in your passport application. So we had to go to a local drugstore there and get that done and go back to the Luxembourg embassy and get it done.
So what's the advantage, just this is a kind of an aside, to being a dual citizenship with Ireland or Luxembourg or wherever you would be a dual citizen?
Well, remember, this is the EU. So, you know, I'm and Ireland is also in the EU. They use the euro. They're one of 28 countries over there. And there are some, let's call them potential benefits. For example, my granddaughter, who is in middle school now, if she decides that, for example, that she wants to go to college over there, then she is treated as a Luxembourg citizen. There are also some possible medical benefits that you may have, because remember, everybody is covered under national health care in all of the EU countries. It gets a little tricky, though, once you get into the details, because every country is every country is different.
Yeah,
but if you're a Luxembourger and you're living in Spain, you know, you're going to tap into Spain's system, not Luxembourg's.
Yeah. Well, let's get back to Ireland. What's the best time of the year to visit Ireland in your mind?
You know, I'm going to give you two minds on this. One is mine and one is Rick Steves, a travel writer, who is, I believe Rick is one of the best voices out there to listen to.
He's a lot of fun to listen to and watch.
Yeah. So, you know, as far as, ask the question again, Larry, because I got sidetracked.
Well, the best time of the year to visit.
The best time of the year, according to Rick, is summer. And then he goes on to say, you know, if you go there in the shoulder seasons, you kind of avoid some crowds, and it's a little cheaper and, you know, a little easier to get around. But I really agree with him. The temperature never does get very warm in Ireland. An 80-degree day pretty much makes headlines over there. So it's it is much nicer. And avoiding the crowds is just not that difficult in Ireland. I mean, if you're going to the Cliffs of Moher, which I highly recommend, it's not like, you know, there's a phalanx of people looking over the cliffs. Just wander over to your own spot, and you've got it to yourself. So I would go in the summer.
Yeah. The Cliffs of Moher, what about, what's so inspiring about them?
They are not oversold, in my opinion. I think the scenery is just spectacular. You're right on the ocean there. The cliffs are about 650 feet up. So think of Granddad's Bluff in La Crosse. It's about the same height.
Yeah.
And you're that above the ocean. You've got the Inishir Islands, the Aran Islands, Inishir being the closest one, right off the coast. And I find it absolutely spectacular.
Glenn Schmidt, our guest today. I almost called you Rick Steves. I got Rick Steves on my head. But Glenn Schmidt, he's written a pretty darn good travel book as well. And talking with him about travel to Ireland, you know, got off onto some tangents here as we move along. But that's okay. You can join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234. Email to talk at WPR.org.
Can I add something about the book?
Go ahead.
That fits in with Rick Steves here. And I can go on Amazon and look to see where my book is ranked, you know, as far as other books. And I found that I was the 18th ranked book when it came to travel books for seniors. And I thought, well, wait a minute, I didn't write this just for old people. And so I talked to my publisher. And I said, did you do this? I said, did you put me in that category? And she said, no, Amazon did that. Amazon knows who is buying your book.
That's a, and what's the title again?
The title?
Travel Lessons, Your Personal Guide to Better Travel.
Exactly.
Our guest, Glenn Schmidt, today. And again, you can join in 800-642-1234 or email to talk at WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Taking a look at travel to Ireland today with our guest, Glenn Schmidt. It's great to have him with us as we talk about travel there. And I hope you'll join in. Lots of callers coming in. You can join in at 800-642-1234, email to talk at WPR.org. It's kind of an Irish theme today. At noon, we'll talk about theater that's performing right here in Wisconsin, including an Irish-themed play. And it really sounds like a fun play, and it actually opens this weekend in Milwaukee. The Milwaukee Rep is putting it on. So We'll learn all about that later on in the show. How expensive is it travel? Is travel to Ireland, Glenn? Yeah, and while you're there, I mean, the plane fares are not bad.
You know, I just looked that up this morning because I knew that question was going to come up, and I thought, well, okay, what is the latest on a flight to Ireland? And the answer is, let's say you're flying on April 1st. You can get there for $743 on American Airlines. Now, I would always check with Aer Lingus to see if they have any kind of a deal going.
Yeah.
But the American flight out of Madison, you know, for $743 and back, I think is a really quite a good deal. If you, there is an even cheaper deal, and that's regular economy. I don't mess with the basic economy. You can't take suitcases and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So this is a regular economy quote. You can fly on Iceland Air for $548. So it is, it is really one of the cheapest places to fly to.
And then once you get there, I mean, staying, I mean, I'm told, or I think you even mentioned that, it's pretty common to have bed and breakfasts dotting throughout the country, for example.
It more than any other country in Europe, bed and breakfasts are the key. But it turns out they're a dying breed. 20 years ago, there were something like 4,000 bed and breakfasts in Ireland. There are fewer than 1,000 right now.
Wow.
400 kilometers away
and
in
what,
the Atlantic Ocean.
What appears
Denmark's
to be...
Prime Minister has told Donald Trump that it is
up to
Greenland to decide its own future.
We're getting something that we're coming
Trump
through my
that
headsets
that
to increase its isn't exactly what we're talking about today.
Call comes
so,
Trump, of course,
Jeff Robbins, our technical director, his hair's on fire, I see, as he... He gets that taken care of. But now I think we have it taken care of. So so you were saying the bed and breakfasts are down three quarters.
Yeah, they are. They're still a good way to go. Larry, what the people used to do is they used to book with a company. They'd get vouchers. And so they'd kind of daisy chain their way through Ireland using the voucher. But now typically, I talked to a friend of mine named Britt, and I'll probably refer to him several times, because Britt is a fanatic about going to Ireland, and he's been there 32 times now. And so I talked to him for an hour the other day just to make sure I'd get some things right that are currently happening. And he said he now uses Airbnb or VRBO and books a place. So what seems to have happened, Larry, is the second B in B&B is kind of washing out. So the breakfast part. So you can go and rent a place through Airbnb, but it's not like anybody's going to come in and make breakfast for you. You've rented the place, kind of like that castle we rented.
Yeah. What about hotels and so forth?
I will often do hotels there, particularly when I'm in Dublin, and they're similar in price to what you'd see over here. And I'll tell you what, the euro is as good as it's been. in a long, long time. It's $1.03 for 1 euro. So they're almost at parity. And I've been to Europe at times when the euro was cost about $1.35 or $1.40. So Europe is a pretty good deal right now.
Tim in Stratford has a suggestion for us. Let's go there. Hi, Tim.
Hello, how are you?
Great, appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
I was just going to make a suggestion that Irish Fest has a whole area of, speaking of Aer Lingus, like the guest was, you can go to Ireland for less than $1,100 a person. You get 8 nights stay, you get airfare, and you get a car rental for $1,100 at the Aer Lingus booth. And that was a great way for us. We had 2 nights in Dublin, 2 in Donegal, 2 in Kilkenny, I believe, and then 2 in Galway for $1,099 a person. And there's lots of other booths that do the same thing with or without cars, with bus travel, or very reasonable. Oh. And Irish Fest is August 11th through the 13th, I believe, in Milwaukee.
Yeah. Got it. Tim, thanks a lot for calling. Well, that sounds like a pretty good deal.
You know, I think it's a great deal. And I've heard this before, too. And my friend Britt goes to Irish Fest every year. He's the guy who's been there 32 times. And he said the same thing. Is Tim still with us? I'd like to ask him about driving over there, if he actually drove.
Tim, did you drive over there?
Yeah, you just got to, when you look out the window, you always...
Oh, we lost him. You're driving on the sort of the wrong side of the road.
Here is the thing. If you're going to go over there, the best way to see Ireland is driving around it. I mean, Tim did it right. However, it's very intimidating. Because not only are you driving on the wrong side of the road, there are a number of other things you have to take into account that you may not think about. First of all, can you drive a standard transmission? If you can't, then you're going to pay a pretty heavy premium for having an automatic transmission. Now, I like it. I grew up with a standard transmission.
I did, too.
but think about this. You have to shift with your left hand. Okay, so now...
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
Exactly. And not only that, but let's say that British roads are an 8 in level of difficulty. Irish roads are a 10. Yeah. And the reason is because of the sharp corners they have. There's no shoulder on the road. Yeah. What you have instead of a shoulder is a rock wall shrubbery that is going to do damage to your car. You can always tell when a tourist car over there, because they don't have the side view mirrors anymore.
But that's Tim, I thank you very much for that information. So Irish Fest might be a place to go to get yourself lined up for a trip.
Absolutely.
Especially the first time around. I spent a year at the University of the West Indies in Trinidad. So this is a long time ago, but we drove on the wrong side of the road, quote, unquote, wrong side. And I had to learn to do that pretty quickly there. And the roads there are kind of similar to the ones that you were talking about.
Can I add one thing about driving there? Because I was looking in my book to make sure that everything I had in there was up to speed. And one thing wasn't. You have to make sure you have good insurance for reasons that we just talked about.
Yeah.
When we rented that castle, one of my friends was on his way from the airport to the castle, and he got run off the road, blew both the tires on the left-hand side because, you know, there's no shoulders, so he blew the tires. Same thing happened to my wife in Britain. And so what I do when I drive over there is I point my right headlight directly at their right headlight of the car coming at me, and I don't move over until I'm about maybe 30 yards away from the car. So if you think that game of chicken isn't something that you want to do, you might think about another way of travel over there.
Or having somebody else drive you around.
Having somebody else drive you. Now, you actually can hire people to drive you around. Or there's some other choices too. Now, there is a train network in Ireland, but here's the problem with it. Almost everything radiates out of Dublin. So you can take a train, and it's very comfortable to get to Galway. But if you want to then go from Galway down to the Ring of Kerry, you got to go back to Dublin and then radiate back out. So taking a train is not going to get you all the way around Ireland, not easily anyway.
March in Madison will give you a chance to join in. Hi, March.
Hi there, Larry. So I was in Ireland in October, this past October. And fortunately, the weather was perfectly wonderful. I think we had hit one day of rain and had a great time. My interest is in ancient things. So we went to Newgrange and Knowth. And, oh, my gosh, if you're interested in kind of Neolithic tombs and dolmens and all that sort of thing, Ireland is a wonderful place to go.
Oh, March, thanks for calling. And I know, Glenn, you've got something to comment on there.
I do that. Newgrange, I had the same reaction to it. It was a very, very powerful place. Newgrange is actually a 5,000-year-old passage tomb that is older than the Egyptian pyramids. And, you know, it's kind of built with the winter solstice in mind. So, you know, if you go there, the sun is aligned in the right way. But it is a very powerful monument. So I totally agree with the caller.
March, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Let's go to Pat in Oregon. Pat, hi.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
A couple of experiences my husband and I had. This was many years ago. Probably 45 years ago, we did drive. We did have a stick shift. I did learn to drive it in a gully wash leaving the airport in Dublin, which wasn't pretty, but we managed. However, there were two things we did that were serendipity. One was I was having my watch battery replaced. So we wandered into a store where we loved the glassware. And the guy said, we won't ship the glassware to you because there's too much breakage. But I'll tell you where the guy is that makes it, and he will ship it. So we found on this back road, we found a guy who blows glass in a barn. And he let us walk all around. He just said, stay out of the way of the oven and don't step on the gas lines. We could take pictures. We could do anything we wanted in there. And we did end up buying glassware that was shipped home.
Outstanding. So it arrived safely from the sound of it, Glenn.
Did you go to Waterford for their crystal?
We went and we did buy a couple of little things, but you couldn't walk around right on top of the blowers. You know, you had to stay back behind a half wall or something. Yeah. The other thing we did was we drove, the gal at the car rental said, be sure you drive over the Gap of Dunloe.
Ah, okay. What's the Gap of Dunloe? I wonder what that we lost her now.
Well, Waterford, I looked this up because my wife and I went to Waterford and we did buy some crystal there, and it's very expensive, very heavy, very beautiful, but mostly they don't make it there anymore. But they still do have a showroom where you can buy it, and it's a pretty Irish thing to do. So, and that area of the country down by Waterford, I found that was also a very pretty place to be.
Chris in Sun Prairie. Chris, your turn. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Hi, Glenn.
Chris. Hi, Chris. I know who you are.
Yeah, I was curious about the castle. That sounded like a really interesting option. And I was just wondering, is that comparable, like if you have 16 people, to getting a better breakfast or a hotel, or is that a little bit more on the higher end?
Yeah, good question. Thanks, Chris.
The castle itself, I looked to see what the going rate is today. I don't remember what I paid for it, but it's $1,600 for a week. And so basically $100 per person because we fit 16 people into it. For the whole week, yes. That's 1,600
a A day.
A day, yeah.
I was going to say, it's got to be $100 a day.
It is $100 a day. What I found is that we were kind of an anomaly because we rented it from Saturday to Saturday. But you can rent Lachine Castle. You can rent out rooms in it most any other time if there isn't a big group there. So I would go on their site. They're pretty easy to find to see if that does fit you. But I will tell you this, Tipperary's in the middle of the country, and it is kind of, while it's central to going to other places, it is kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's a county, too. It's not a lot of people think it's a city.
Right, right. The nearest city is Thurles, T-H-U-R-L-E-S. And what I remember about Thurles is horse racing is big in Ireland. And we actually went to the horse races, which are different from here. The horses seem like they're running all the way to Canada, but they're also jumping over things. So it's kind of a steeplechase. But the betting is different, Larry. You have to go to your own bookie who is standing on a soapbox. And so there's maybe 15 or 20 of these bookies lined up with different odds. And so I found a bookie named John Carey. And I thought, well, what could go wrong here? So I bet on a horse. My horse was in the lead all the way until he got to the last jump. And then he decided he'd prefer to walk around it. And apparently that's not something that's acceptable. So I didn't win any money from John Carey.
I remember the first bet. I was in Trinidad. I went with the owner of one of the horses. One of the races where her horse wasn't in it. So I bet on another horse, and the horse finished first, but unfortunately the jockey fell off coming out of the gate. So the horse ran around the whole way and finished first, but of course you don't win any money if the jockey isn't with the horse.
That's a problem.
Marnie in Madison. Your turn. Hi, Marnie.
Hi. I'm just enthusiastically recommending that people not be afraid of driving there. I've been there 3 times, and twice my husband wanted me to drive because I just loved it, driving on the wrong side of the road and getting used to all of that. Didn't take long at all. The time that I loved the most was with my mom a couple of years before she died, because she'd always wanted to take her mom to Ireland. And we landed in Shannon. We got a rental car. You're right about the stick shift. And it broke down within, maybe half an hour left, maybe 15 minutes from the airport. Luckily, I could pull to the side. We walked to this adorable cottage where this wonderful, about 5'1" woman invited us in. We used her phone. This is before cell phones. And the airport brought us a new and much better car. But my only other advice for people, I don't know if it's true anymore, but when the bars let out, if they do ever let out, when we were driving then, there were men who were inebriated a bit, and they took their bikes to the bars, and they wore these suit jackets, so they looked like rumpled businessmen, but the roads are very narrow, and you have to, when you go around the corner, here would be this guy wobbling on a bicycle. So that's the only cautionary tale that we really have other than the car breaking down. But do it.
Marnie, thanks for calling. Comment, Glenn?
Yeah, I'm not intimidated by driving. I think it's fun, too. I agree with you. You have to know yourself and your own limitations. The other thing I would urge you is, they're kind of a surprise problem, and that is when you're in a parking lot and you just, you know, if there aren't any real lines where you are or anything, you will gravitate in the same direction that the Irish will to try to pass each other. So you're always playing this game, this little dance when you're trying to pass each other. Now, as far as Irish bars, that could take a whole show, Larry, so we could do that. But in Tipperary, we found a place called Jim of the Mills. And Jim of the Mills is kind of this old farmhouse that is only open on Thursday night for music, but it's open all night. And so we went there, and you just have to remember the main rule when you're sitting around the hearth and all these people are playing nameless Irish instruments around you. The main rule is don't sit in the dog's chair. And if you can remember that, you're going to be fine. Yeah, they'll bring you all the Guinness that you need.
Oh, Marty, thank you again for calling in. You know, bicycles came up, and somebody else is wondering, how safe is it to bike in Ireland?
You know, we just heard from Chris a few minutes ago, and I had this conversation with her. And in fact, it is in my book where I said my recommendation is don't do it. Because I find it just even walking on some of the narrow places, narrow streets to be somewhat intimidating because there's always a bus coming around the corner. However, I did go on YouTube and watched a video, and I recommend you do this too, especially if you're thinking about biking. I found this really lovely young couple who biked the Wild Atlantic Way. That's what they actually call it, the Wild Atlantic Way. And they were just the cutest couple. They would knock on somebody's door at the end of the day and say, you know, can we put up our tent in your garden, in your yard? And the couple would always say, well, of course, and come on in, we'll give you a meal and maybe a shower. And then they'd go on to the next one. But then they showed pictures of them being pelted by hail and by rain and wind and no place to hide. There's no there's not a tree or anything else. So if you're 20 years old and don't mind a little discomfort, that's fine. And you can probably work that out. But if you're going to bike over there, make sure you know where you're going because not every place is suitable for it.
Our guest today, Glenn Schmidt, and his book is titled Travel Lessons, Your Personal Guide to Better Travel, talking about mostly about Ireland. We've gotten astray a little bit along the way, but that's okay, too. Number to call is 800-642-1234, or you could email to talk at WPR.org. Are there tours? I mean, a lot of people would rather just have somebody else do a lot of the work. When in Scotland, we had Hidden Links Travel took care of us. But what about travel groups?
I'm going to make some specific recommendations. These are tour companies I have used in the past with some success. And starting with Gate One Travel, for about $1,700, you can do a fly and drive, much as was described by a previous caller. And they just, you know, that's pretty much it. That's what you get, the fly and drive. Go Ahead Tours for $2,400 will put you on the bus and include a bunch of meals with it, and that's fine. Road Scholar, you've probably dealt with them. Mm-hmm. And if you want to learn something along the way, that's a good one. Globus has a 13-day tour for $3,200. And if you really want to go upscale, go to Overseas Adventure Tours. But that's going to cost you about $5,000 for 17 days. Now, I'm going to add one more thing, which is really popping up the last maybe 3 years, and that is cruise ships have discovered the British Isles and Ireland. And before, it was really quite uncommon, but nowadays you can take tours that go all the way around, and I found one that takes off in April, and it leaves from Fort Lauderdale. Now, this is what's called a repo cruise. Are you familiar with those?
No.
Okay, a repo cruise is a repositioning cruise. And what that means is all those boats that are in the Caribbean, you know, Princess Cruises and everybody mm-hmm. else, they got to go somewhere after the winter season's over. They go to Alaska, they go to Europe, and they used to sail empty. And that's when the companies decided, oh, wait a minute, let's put passengers on it, and we'll call it a repositioning cruise. And it's usually a pretty good deal. So this trip on a Princess ship in April is a 24-day trip, but 12 of the days are at sea. You do not get off the boat. And then the other 12 are around the British Isles and Ireland. And the price for that is $2,500, so about $100 a day,
wow,
which is terrific. Now, my wife won't let me go on it. And and she said, well, you get seasick. Okay, all right. She's kind of exaggerated. Once in a while, I'll get seasick. But it's usually on the English Channel. which happens to be where this is. So it might get a little rough, but you know, if that doesn't bother you, might want to check that out.
John in Madison, we'll give you a chance to join in. Hi, John.
Hi. I'm calling in to talk to Glenn.
Okay. What's on your mind?
Glenn, I've been reading your book, and I'm really enjoying it, first off. And I want to say that it's almost like traveling with you the way you write. I'm really enjoying it. And secondly, I do realize that I have my grandmother on my father's side is from Cork County, Ireland. So I would be interested in talking to you sometime a little more about checking into getting citizenship there.
Yeah.
John, thank you for calling. That is a very good question, and it's good for you for knowing that. You will find also that when you talk to people in Ireland, the Irish are really, really interested in talking to Americans if they have Irish heritage. They will ask you, you know, what county are you from, and you know, what's your grandfather's name, and they will go into a lot of that. So that's a really good reason to travel over to Ireland.
How you have a site or a website, Glenn?
I do have a website. I'm not even going to refer to it, though, because it's I'd rather send people right to Amazon.
And
they can read about the book. They can read an excerpt from it. Just type in the name, and you'll get an idea of what the book is all about.
Glenn Schmidt. And the book is titled Travel Lessons, Your Personal Guide to Better Travel. And let's see, Brian in Shorewood, we'll go to you. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Larry. Hey, Glenn. I have a question for you. We're looking to visit Ireland next fall, and we would fly into Dublin. And there appears to be easy train access to visit Belfast. So first question, have you been there, and what were the best things you visited in Belfast? Mm-hmm.
That is a gap in my travel. A couple of times I've planned to go to Northern Ireland. I have not made it up there yet. There are my friend Britt, who talks about it, does highly recommend going up in that direction. But personally, I haven't been there yet.
And the and the train, I'm just not sure on that either. So. Brian, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. You can join in, too. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Or you could email. We've got some emails to deal with here, too. talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Taking a look at travel in Ireland today with our guest, Glenn Schmidt. Glenn is having fun talking with him about travel. His book is Travel Lessons, Your Personal Guide to Better Travel. Questions for him? I hope you'll join in. You can email us to talk@WPR.org or phone 800-642-1234. Corrine in Two Rivers has something for us. Corrine, hi.
Good morning, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And I'm really appreciating the travel information. I just wanted to give a shout out to some of the alternative ways that people can actually travel. There's great ways to save money as well as meeting people in their local areas by house sitting. I don't know, Glenn, if you've ever done anything like that. But there's also ways that you can go and work on people's farms. It's not always the traditional vacation, but if people have time, it's a great way to really immerse yourself in the culture, not just in Ireland, but all over Europe and the United States, Australia, New Zealand.
Corrine, thank you so much for calling. And I wanted to just add to this before you comment, Glenn, that Walder in Osseo emailed us and highly recommended this site, trustedhousesitters.com, for inexpensive travel to Ireland or any place else. They spent 2 weeks last summer in Kerry County in a beautiful home taking care of 3 dogs. And from that base, they took 2-day-long bus tours and visited Tralee and Killarney.
I love that idea. I've not done that personally, but I'm kind of from the Rick Steves school that the closer you get to the people, the better your travel experience is going to be. And it doesn't necessarily mean spending more money in order to have a better experience. It doesn't work that way. So what these folks are doing, the idea of working on a farm, yeah, I don't know if I want to go that far, but what a great idea to get close to the land and close to the people.
Yeah, and that was TrustedHouseSitters.com that Walter mentioned. Corrine, thank you so much. Jim, and there's a travel little wrinkle coming up that I read about and that you certainly know about relating to travel in Europe. And do you want to talk about that, Glenn, before we go any further?
I do. Americans have been, you know, very fortunate over the last 30 years that in going to Europe and other countries, we really almost never have to have a visa or any extra paperwork. Well, I'm afraid that is changing. And if you go to Great Britain now, they've put in extra paperwork that you have to apply for before you leave here, or you will not be allowed in the country. Now, the European Union is going to do something very similar to that, and it's going to cost you about, you know, 10 or 12 bucks or something like that. So it's really not about the money, but it's about getting the paperwork done ahead of time. The one for the European Union has been pushed back several times now, and if your trip is scheduled after May, you may have to have one of these non-visas, we'll call them, but you may not. They may decide to postpone it again, but just watch out for that. Talk to your travel agent. Your airline should let you know because they've got trouble, too, if you get off the plane and they're not going to let you into the country.
So something to be sure, and this is where a travel agent comes in really handy.
I love travel agents. It's unfortunate that local travel agents have become more scarce the last few years. There's a lot of online travel agents, but you don't always know who you can trust out there, too. So, you know, I like going to my local travel agent and having her figure something out that I can't.
I do as well. Jim in Mauston emailed us just about visiting the Cliffs of Moher several years ago. Jim crawled up to the edge for a look straight down to the rocky shoreline. He didn't have the nerve to stand at the edge, but a gentleman nearby stood with what appeared to have his toes over the edge, and that made Jim shiver and his hair to stand straight up.
I saw that too, Larry, and I thought, what are these people thinking? And I didn't get that close to the edge, but I will tell you this, that if that were in America, OSHA would close it down in a minute.
Brian in Iola emailed us with some recommendations to take a deep dive into Irish culture. The Fled, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this, Fled Sheol, a midsummer festival. And he says, go for the full 3 days, but plan ahead. Fled is in F-L-E-A-D-H, F-L-E-A-D-H, C-H-E-O-I-L. It's a midsummer festival. Mary in Mosinee emailed us. You hear a lot about Irish crystal. Don't forget the Beilic, the Irish pottery. They visited this village in Northern Ireland and came home with a couple of pieces, and it's much easier to bring home than crystal.
I will tell my wife about this.
There you go. Well, what do you recommend doing in Dublin?
You know, Dublin's about the size of Milwaukee. All right, so think of it, you know, it's not a major metropolis, but it's not a small village either. So some of the things that I do, I would definitely go over to Trinity College and take a look at the Book of Kells. I found that a very sublime experience. It's a very walkable town to be in. You'll hear about the Temple Bar. The Temple Bar, yes, there is a bar with that name, but the Temple Bar refers to the whole area, not just to that one particular bar. So you want to go there. The Irish Emigration Museum is there. So we've talked about your Irish history, and that's where you're going to find about that. Now, one thing I did was a literary pub crawl. And I recommend that because the stories they tell you about James Joyce and George Bernard Shaw and going from one pub to another and their experiences, you get the Irish pubs, you get the Irish writers, you get the Irish stories. It all comes together in one.
What about Galway? I always think about the song. Was it Bing Crosby that sang, "Here again the ripples of the trout stream, the women in the meadows making hay"? I think it was.
I don't think I can hum that.
But... I can hum it, but I don't want to. I might lose listeners. You never know.
We rented a place right on the sea in Galway for a week. And I like Galway. And if you want some great seafood, if you want some great Irish music, Galway is the place to go. And one thing we actually did was the islands out there, the Aran Islands, we just took a quick tour. I mean, we had our own car, but we rented a, we took for 45 euros, I think it was, we took an all-day tour on a bus that took us to the Cliffs of Moher and then put us on the ferry boat out to the Aran Islands. And so we're on the island of Inishere, and I remember just kind of falling into a walk around the island with these all these ancient stone, you know, walkways. And I was walking with a Canadian professor who was there on a golf trip with his son. And so, Larry, everything comes together in golf.
and what there's some pretty good golf in Ireland. We might as well.
There is some good golf there. I'm planning on doing what you did. I'm planning on playing some golf in Scotland this year. But after that, Ireland is next on my itinerary. There are some 300 courses that you can play in Ireland. And remember, Ireland is about the size of South Carolina. So imagine packing 300 golf courses. You know, it's hard to, you know, you hit your nine iron in any direction, you're going to land on a green.
And I do like the idea of just visiting some of the local courses and sort of getting in tune with the local courses. We did that in Scotland, and I'd probably do that in Ireland as well.
And we're planning on doing that in Scotland, too, is we've got some friends who are joining our group who live over there. So that's really the best way to see it from the inside.
Did you kiss the Blarney Stone while you were there?
I will put that in my list of least favorite things to do in Ireland. It's pretty overrated.
And somebody might say, what is the Blarney Stone?
Well, right? It's in Blarney Castle, and you got to go upside down, and you have to kiss that. But I don't say much negative about Ireland because it's such a delightful place. But probably the worst museum I've ever been in was in Limerick. Frank McCourt, remember he wrote Angela's Ashes?
Yeah.
Well, they've got a museum that revolves around him, and it turns out it's his old school. And it turns out there's very little about him in it. And the only, and there are like three docents walking around. The only one who had actually met Frank was me. and there was very little about him in there. And so I wouldn't recommend that particular one either.
And certainly gardens. I would think there'd be some nice gardens to see and with the castles and all.
When I was in Galway, we went up to an abbey? Kylemore Abbey. And I found Kylemore Abbey spectacular. It's a Benedictine monastery, and it's got a Victorian walled garden. But you know what I loved about it the most? I've been in a lot of gardens in Europe, but this was a vegetable garden. and so, you know, it's like this is more useful than the flower garden you're typically going to see.
Oh, it's a great pleasure, Glenn. I hope we can do this again, maybe talk about a different country another time. Thanks so much.
I'm happy to go wherever you want to take me.
Well, it's been fun. Yeah. Glenn Schmidt, his book, Travel Lessons, Your Personal Guide to Better Travel. And we had a nice person talking well in favor of the book. It's really entertainingly written, and you might feel like you're right along there with Glenn when you read his book. Coming up, there's an Irish musical appearing at the Milwaukee Rep, and we'll learn about that and a whole lot more. Stay with us. And watch the
barefoot gossams at their play.